The family is dressed in their best button blankets, red and black designs, emblazoned with their clan crests. Together, they are coming out of a time of mourning and entering a time of celebration.
I'm Dime Roberts, Stage and Studio. That was a clip from Our Voices Will Be Heard by Alaska Native playwright Vera Starbird. I'll be airing the full radio play on Tuesday, June 26th at 11 a.m. to noon. But today we talk with the playwright herself, Vera Starbird, about her moving play. It deals with childhood sexual abuse in her personal experience and in the Alaska Native community. Hear about this important work of art right here on Stage and Studio. I'm Dime Roberts, Stage and Studio. We just heard music by Tlingit composer Ed Littlefield, who composed the music for Our Voices Will Be Heard. Alaska Native playwright Vera Starbird and her play Our Voices Will Be Heard had its world premiere at Perseverance Theater in January 2016. It was directed by her mentor at the Perseverance Theater, Larissa Fasthorse, who is one of the top playwrights in the country right now and just was produced at Artist Repertory Theater in Portland. Our Voices Will Be Heard was adapted into a radio play and distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American radio network. The play focuses on the journey of a mother coming to terms with the sexual abuse of her daughter. The play infuses Alaska Native storytelling traditions to tell a story of how the mother seeks to break the cycle of family violence and childhood sexual abuse in her own community. It is also about a daughter who finds strength by sharing her words. Vera Starbird is currently the editor of First Alaskans magazine and owner of Writing Maven Communications. She, along with her husband Joe Bedard and three playwrights from the Alaska Native Playwright Project, founded an Alaska Native theater company called Dark Winter Productions in 2013. She is also a founding member of the Alaska Native Media Group. She is currently a resident playwright at Perseverance Theater. I was in Anchorage a few months ago thanks to the Rasmussen Foundation, and Lauren Dixon of KNBA radio station helped me to record this interview with Vera Starbird. I wanted to find out more about her career and her play.
I'm Vera Starbird, Tsetkwe Hetluasak, my Tlingit name. It's Tsetkwe. I'm Tlingit and Dena'ina. And I live here in Anchorage. After being raised sort of all around Alaska, I've settled here in Anchorage for the time, at least, as the resident playwright for Perseverance Theater. They have half their season in Juneau and half their season in Anchorage. So I'm one of two employees here in Anchorage full time.
So did you grow up in this area?
No. So my dad was a state trooper, an Alaska state trooper, and we grew up all over Alaska. I was born in Craig, Alaska, which is way down southeast, but I've lived in Craig, Kodiak, Juneau, Anchorage. I did end up graduating from high school here, but I'd moved 12 times by the time I was 12, 16 times by the time I was 16, so kind of got this pan-Alaskan experience growing up. And my husband was born and raised here in Anchorage, so I think that kind of settled me in for the time being.
How did you become a playwright?
I wrote a book first. I finished it through the Rasmussen Foundation's Individual Artist Award. And as I'm looking at this sort of finished product, I really wanted to work on my dialogue. I thought my dialogue could use some work. And I saw this advertisement for something called the Alaska Native Playwrights Project. And I applied. It's like, well, that sounds like a good idea to work on my dialogue, and got accepted. And throughout the year, we wrote a play. I was assigned Larissa Fasthorse as my mentor through that. And that ended up being wonderful, life-changing relationship, I think, with Larissa being my mentor. She's still my mentor how many years later. at the end of the year, we did public reading of our finished scripts. And I thought that was kind of it, that it was going to be introduced to this room of family and friends and then be buried in a box somewhere for the rest of my life while I continued on in journalism and writing books. But it kind of picked up some traction, and the Native Voices at the Autry got it for a workshop down in L.A., and then Perseverance took me to New York to do a reading at the Lark, and then they wanted to produce it, and kind of a very community-pushed kind of project. I never intended to be a playwright, but I got hooked, and now I'm a full-time playwright with Perseverance Theater.
So that is so incredible that you've happened upon this career, but you must be really good at it if you're, you know, a three-year fellow there. So what I want to talk to you about is Our Voices Will Be Heard, and I found out about it because it is a 59-minute radio theater adaptation of a play that you did 2 years ago. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, it was a really personal story. It was actually based on a short story that I'd written when I was 18 years old called The Eyes of Love. That's what I actually submitted as my, hey, I'll turn this into a play idea. It was pretty tough. It was about my own abuse at the hands of my uncle when I was little and what happened when my mom found out and went to authorities about it. And really, it's not about the abuse, but about what happened when the abuse was found out. And that was pretty tough to write about for a year. And it became even tougher, I think, to kind of go through production and sort of see it come to life on stage, but completely worth it.
It is, it's domestic violence and sexual abuse?
Childhood sexual abuse.
I mean, that's difficult on its own to deal with it, but it's also important because a lot of people don't talk about it. Is it something that in the, you know, Alaska Native community, is it dealt with very much, or how is it dealt with so that you can be able to do what you have just done, which is to write this play and to have it as a radio play as well?
I would say I don't see any community that I know of handling it well. I happen to belong to the Alaska Native community and the Alaska community, so that's where I wrote my perspective from. Alaska has astronomically high rates of childhood sexual abuse, whether you're Native or not. And I've had experience in multiple communities about what happens when you talk about it. My mother, who if you hear or see the play, you kind of understand that she's not a person who will shut up about it. She's going to talk, and she's going to call it like it is, and that's how I was raised. And I kind of discovered through the experience, I was actually kind of old. I was like late into high school when I figured out, oh, people don't like talking about this. People don't think you should talk about this, where in our family we're raised, you talk about it. And I would say I was terrified this play going out and what people would think of me and my story. And it was kind of a, oh gosh, me kind of fear. And very quickly, it became obvious when audiences left or even actors left rehearsals, they started talking about their own stories.
It opened up the well that, yeah, you know, a lot of us just bury, right, yeah, and keep it closed up or cover it.
It became a conversation starter, and it wasn't about me, thank goodness.
but it had to start from you.
Just the act of telling someone's story became something that people could go, there, that happened to me, something like that happened to me. And I think there was actually a strength in putting it in this sort of 18th century Tlingit house, that there was a safety there. So it wasn't sort of these modern sort of things, the scary things, even though to me it was a direct analogy to my own life. For people, including myself, it felt a little bit safer to talk about when you're talking about these characters versus your own life.
So you set it in a historical context,
yeah,
so that you could be able to talk about something that was so horrific for yourself. And there's a lot of traditions in there too, right? Can mm-hmm. you talk about some of that you yeah. brought out in the play?
Yeah, I think it was in my own life and in the play, it was the strength of traditions, the strength of the culture, the strength of Tlingit values, how we have traditionally taught our women and young girls to be. That's what pulled me out of it. My sort of instinct was to hide and to self-destruct. And my gosh, my mom was not going to have that. She was going to raise a strong Tlingit daughter. She was very conscious that this terrible thing had happened to her. Similar things had happened to herself. And so she raised me with sort of very big Tlingit values of self-reliance, of resiliency, of strength, strength of character, strength of will. And that pulled me out of what I really do believe would have been just ultimate, a very young death for me. I used to be suicidal, and pulled me into a place where I used those, that I didn't run from them. So when you run from those emotions, they kind of destroy you. But if you can express them, if you can get them out, if you can get them out into the light, they're healing, actually. That just experiencing the healing itself was a life changer for me.
Kutan, come here. Now, I have been thinking, and I am very serious about you not being around those traitors anymore.
But
Do not argue. I have told you before not to go around them, and you do not listen. I will be speaking to your Uncle Jinnaha later, and he is going to fix this problem. It is no use trying to cry with me, Kutan. It will not change my mind. And do not make a mess with your things again. I just cleaned those up. Oh, let me do it.
No, nothing.
What on earth? Kutan, what is the meaning of this? This is mad. All these beautiful dolls just in tatters. These were gifts, Kutan. Something is the matter. Kutan, what is wrong with you?
Nothing that is not perfectly normal. Frustrating, but normal.
I am sure you will not do it again, will you, Kutan?
No. No, this is not normal. Come here.
Leave her be.
You tell me right now, did someone hurt you?
Trista, what is this?
I want to know, daughter. I've been watching you, and I think someone hurt you.
No!
Tell me.
I do not know what has gotten into you. You're being such a bully. She said no. What made you think of such a thing?
It's just about time. Why don't
you? Someone is hurting Kutan, Mother. I know it.
Sitar, what is going on? Our daughter looks terrified.
Ta, I found these dolls of Kutan's all torn up. Something is very wrong with her. And I know. I just know that someone is hurting her.
What makes you think that?
Children do not destroy things they treasure for no reason.
That does not mean someone is hurting her.
Daughter, tell them.
I...
Stop. Stop this, Tlita. I dealt with this already.
What do you mean you dealt with this?
If you must know, yes, there was a situation, but it was long ago, and nothing happened, right, Kutan? She was just scared. I am sure these dolls are just a part of that scare she had, but she was much younger then. And, my darling, can we not talk about this at a better time?
Why did you not tell me?
You are just so hard on her. When she came to me, I knew it would upset you and would make things even worse between you. It was not any terrible thing. I promise we will talk about this later.
You still should have told me sooner, husband.
I know. I am sorry. It was not right of me.
You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dime Roberts. That was a clip from the radio adaptation of Our Voices Will Be Heard by Alaska Native playwright Vera Starbird. I'll be airing the full radio play on Tuesday, June 26th at 11 a.m. to noon. You can hear this show again or read more about the upcoming radio play on stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. I interviewed Vera Starbird at KMBA radio station earlier this year and asked her more about her play. It was directed by Larissa Fasthorse, her mentor, at Perseverance Theater, where it was originally staged.
So Our Voices Will Be Heard was originally a 90-minute play that was done. Was that in Fairbanks?
It was done in Juneau, Hoonah, Anchorage, and Fairbanks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
many locations.
Yeah.
Did you have community talkbacks as part
yes.
of it?
Yeah, and there were readings in L.A., San Diego, and New York also that had talkbacks. The talkbacks were pretty powerful just to hear what would come out of them along with the production. So once the production was in place in Juneau, Hoonah, Anchorage, and then later Fairbanks, I did workshops called Healing Through Storytelling. So bringing a group of people in, whether they'd seen the play or about to see the play or just heard of it, and teach them a little bit about art therapy and sort of let them practice three different ways of storytelling and getting your story out through that way. And my goodness, there were some powerful, powerful stories coming out of it. You just see everyone is a storyteller. And I don't know how many times, like, man, you need to write a play. Just be like, you need to write a play, or you need to be an artist, or you need to do something with this, because it's so beautiful and heartbreaking and healing to witness that you know something's going on there for them that is the same thing.
Sounds very powerful. Now, your mentor, Larissa Fasthorst, directed Our Voices Will Be Heard for both the production as well as the radio production.
Yeah.
Radio play. So how were you able to take a 90-minute story and make it into a 59-minute radio play?
Oh, a lot of heartbreak there.
A lot of heartbreak editing, huh?
There was actually an entire character that was taken out for the 59-minute play. In the stage production, there's a storyteller that comes in and out of the play, and he's telling traditional stories. I actually made them up, but they're in the form of traditional Tlingit storytelling. And they're metaphors for what's going on in the play. And he also represents, he or she, it can be a he or she, represents to me the future. He's coming from a time in our future where child abuse is so outrageous and so unthinkable that the only way you can tell it is in story form and through animal characters and this sort of mythical kind of storytelling. And that was a really important piece for me to include in the production. It was the piece that I connect with most, as far as that's how I see things. But we just had to make some tough decisions. And so the 59-minute version tells the narrative of this girl and her mother's journey.
And it's powerful hearing the mother and daughter talk with each other. And the actors are very good, too.
You must tell someone. Immediately. You must tell the town's night police.
The police? But the police are all great, God. They will not help us.
They have stopped some of the men at the bars from hurting women before. They might help.
They only help because those women were Klaitka, I am sure.
It does not matter. You must tell someone.
But he didn't do anything to me, he just tried.
But you know he is hurting other girls, do you not?
Well, I suspect. But I did not see anything.
Then you must tell them what happened to you. Tell them what he said.
Do you want them to kick me out of school?
Do not be foolish, of course not. But if they do not believe you, if they push you out, if they treat you even worse, Kutan, if they throw rocks at you, you must tell. If you do not wish these girls to be harmed anymore, this is what you must do.
I cannot do that.
What do you mean you cannot? Do you have a voice, or did you lose it? It is very simple. If you have a voice, that is all that it is. It is speaking and speaking until someone hears you. And you do not stop until someone does. A child learns to use her voice before she is a winter old. But you are not a child anymore. As a woman, you must learn when to use it. This is one of those times.
Yes. Are they all Alaska Native actors?
They're all Native. They're not all Alaska Native. There were Tlingit actors and Iroquois actors.
But what a great cast.
Aleut. Yeah, we had a wonderful cast. And about half of them were Tlingit. But the rest, Tlingit actors are a pretty small pool to take from. So we had to reach out and get some really great actors. And I kind of wish we could just travel around with these actors and do this play. Everyone, I think they all kind of wish the same thing. Still friends with a lot. I met them through these. And one of them actually had never been to, Erica Stone, had never been to Alaska before. And she came up for my play and stayed. She never went back to California. She's still here.
It sounds like the whole relationship with Perseverance Theater has been a very positive one for you, and one that hopefully will continue.
Oh, yeah. I got involved with Perseverance through my play, but actually at the same time, before they were thinking of producing my play, through Dark Winter Productions, which was an organization me and three other Alaska Native Playwrights, the Alaska Native Playwright Project, started. Once the project ended, we wanted to continue creating stories, creating plays, and knew we needed sort of help with each other to do that. And Perseverance was there from the beginning, going, oh, do you need stage time? We have a stage at the PAC, you know, if you need it. And that was, I don't know, six years ago or more, and we're still partnering with them. They have, besides myself, like as a full-time Alaska Native playwright there, we have the, it's called the Perseverance Theater Playwright Circle, which is a commission of five playwrights to do Alaska plays, and four of them are Native, and I'm involved in that as well to kind of do logistics because I'm doing kind of a similar thing to them at the same time. They're pretty heavily investing in Alaska Native theater and Alaska Native storytelling and figuring out what that means and how the theater can change, as well as opening its doors to bring in this form of theater that's existed in this land for thousands of years. We've been doing it, and now we're just going to do it on a little bit of a different stage.
I'm Demay Roberts. Towards the end of the radio play of Our Voices Will Be Heard, the mother has a realization that she needs to let her daughter chart her own path to healing and to adulthood.
You remember the song I used to sing to you when you could not sleep at night?
The lullaby?
Do you remember the words, daughter?
Yes. I do not understand.
Just listen. Ishan, Ishan, Geet, Awa, Geet. Ishan, Ishan, Geet, Awa, Geet. Ah, say, Yah, Woodly, Sa. Ah, Yadi, Ah, Yadi, Eat, See, Woodly, See. Ah, Yadi, Ah, Yadi, Eat, See, Woodly, See. Ah, to what ah. Ah, ye swat. Ah, ye swat, hut, awa, hut. Ah, ye swat, ah, ye swat, hut, awa, hut. Gone out, he gone out, he gone. It just sounds like a song about a storm. But it is really a song about what a mother's job is. You may not believe me because, even though I tried to be a good mother, I failed at my most important job.
You didn't fail, you...
No, I failed to protect you when you were little, and then I failed to protect you again and again. Many mothers fail at this. So when a mother fails to protect, then a mother's job is to hold on. When there is a storm your child is in, you hold on with all your might. And you cover your child with your arms. Because a child believes they have done something wrong to deserve the storm. But a mother knows if you hold on long enough, the child will know that the rain falls on everyone. Do you understand?
I asked Vera Starbird about her future upcoming works.
Yes, I have a lot of things. I'm not sure which ones I can talk about.
Okay.
They're really exciting.
But it sounds like your career is just really taken off, you know?
Yeah.
From an idea that, oh, I need to learn how to write dialogue
yeah.
to here, right now,
yeah.
you know, to have this play distributed nationally, you know?
Yeah, it's being distributed nationally. It's in a textbook also. It's in a theater textbook. That blows my mind that students will be learning this. Larissa's play is also in that textbook. That students will be learning Native plays, Native theater.
I think we're in a really great time for Native theater right now, and you're right there with everybody, so that's so great. Thank you so much for taking the time, Vera Starbird, to talk with me today.
Thank you.
Did I pronounce your name right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Like, even when you say that, I'm like, oh, gosh, I've actually been told by family that I pronounce it wrong.
Oh, how was it supposed to be pronounced?
Oh, some of them will do Vera Starbard.
Oh.
I have to say it quick because it sounds all the same to me.
Okay.
Vera Starbird. But yeah, I have family, Starbird family, that's like, you're saying it wrong.
Starbard.
And my whole family kind of says Starbird. If I come up with someone that's writing it down, I'll say Starbard so they, you know, get it.
Well,
to
you
me,
know
it
what?
All sounds the
In
same.
Some ways, because of the bard being Shakespeare, maybe you should go Starbard
yeah.
because you're a playwright now, right?
Yeah, I think I'll emphasize that Starbard.
Well, thank you very much, Vera Starbard, for talking with me today here in Anchorage.
Thank you.
Okay.
was Alaska Native playwright Vera Starbird, recorded in the studios of KNBA in Anchorage, Alaska. Vera Starbird's play, Our Voices Will Be Heard, first produced at Perseverance Theater in 2016, is now a one-hour radio play distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network. I'll be airing it next Tuesday on June 26th at 11 a.m. to noon. To learn more about the play or the playwright herself, visit stageandstudio.org or kboot.fm/stageandstudio. That's where I'll also be airing the podcast of this show as well as on iTunes. You can like us on facebook.com/stage_studio or tweet me at @stage_studio. That's it for Stage and Studio. Tune in next week for the special one-hour radio play of Our Voices Will Be Heard. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We're going out with music by Tlingit composer Ed Littlefield, who was the composer of Our Voices Will Be Heard. Hear more of his music at edlittlefield.com.